T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi, and welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. I'm your host, Gregor, and he used to work here. Now he sells stuff to people houses in Spokane. Yeah. He's Brandon from the internet.
Yeah, hey.
Hey. Neither of us a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong and perhaps even what we get right. We would ask that you write a review if you're listening to this on demand. That would be really cool as a podcast. I think the number one podcast review place is the Apple podcast thing. I encourage you to listen on Odyssey because they're paying for the production of this, not for Brandon to...
Yeah, not for me.
But and I'm actually at my home using all my own equipment, so... Huh. Okay, well, anyway, if you could leave a review.
and I'm pretty sure you paid for the equipment that I'm using.
Yeah, that's also true. So what are we doing this for?
Making somebody else money.
This episode's question of the week. What are we doing this for again?
I just asked... ChatGPT, what questions should I ask a bunch of nerds? And the answers are like way more deep than I would expect anybody to go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and write a review answering this question, because like all of a sudden our wall of reviews, which is like 6 right now, right? Our wall of reviews would be people responding to the question like, what are some of the most interesting scientific discoveries or technological advancements that you've come across recently? Or what are some of the most important ethical considerations that should be taken into account when developing new technologies? Like, would a robot have nipples? And and what would a robot skin feel like?
It's like human flesh over metal alloy, right? Or what Terminator says?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you want to do that, I don't know, our question of the week. Oh, I got a question of the week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now our question of the week. What is the best number?
Oh, 69.
Yeah, 420.
I mean,
I'm Canadian, so I do the math automatically.
Right, obviously. Yeah, we know the answer to that question. Like, that's not like, don't even bother going to leave us a review. Do actually go do that. But
the review is just like, I'm not sure that they know what math is. Like, I would like to start, before we get into what the best number is, by showing you something on the, if you're able to see this on a video. You see this right here?
Yeah.
This is my fancy new Rubik's Cube.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And, that's good action right there.
Yeah.
I do Rubik's Cube. I used to compete at it, whatnot. Okay, great. I have, like, a world ranking and everything. It's pretty crazy. It's, like, 85,000th now, though. I used to be top 10,000. Boy, I have a lot more people started cubing. I want you to guess how much money this Rubik's Cube cost, because it's a pretty low, like, what do you call that? Like, a low barrier to enter the competitive world of speed cubing, but...
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm like looking at it, and as somebody who like knows nothing about Rubik's Cubes. Oh, okay, it's got a cool little logo in the middle.
Yeah, it's made by GAN. It's called the Maglev 13.
Okay.
It's got magnets in it. It's pretty dope.
Okay. It does look like it would be more, and this is coming from somebody, it looks like it just spins so nice. Like, as somebody loves to fidget with stuff, like that looks like I just wanna, but it's like, you know, I'm gonna guess $20.
$75 on sale down from $89.
Yikes.
I spent $75 on a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's the...
I don't ever want to have a retirement.
Yeah, but, you know, if you get from 87,000th to, like, you know, 69,000th, it was worth
yes.
it, right?
The new goal! I'm going to find out what that is while you're talking at some point. I will look up what it's going to take for me to become 69,000th fastest in the world.
Yeah, I want you to get it, like, right on the dot, too, if possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm not that competent is the problem. But if I was in the, you know, top 69,000, would that be better?
Yeah, it would be absolutely worth it.
Okay, yeah. I'll look that up here in a second.
So, like, what's the, like, what are the, like, okay, so I ride bikes, and I, you know, as somebody who's into that hobby, I know a lot about.
And is in his 30s with a disposable income. Like,
exactly.
It's like, yeah, you
yeah.
could, like, feed it.
Yeah, I'm not a dentist, for what it's worth. But, so I ride bikes, and I know kind of, like, the difference between, you know, two products that might look exactly the same to somebody else, but I could tell you why one is, you know, marginally better and why it would cost, you know, a couple of $100 more. What can you tell me about why this Rubik's Cube costs more than, like, the $10 one from the, you know, I don't know, Target?
Yeah, okay, so the Rubik's brand is terrible. They're not designed to be fast. They're just designed to be a puzzle that lasts a long time, so they're not quick.
So is Rubik's, real quick, just to clarify, Rubik's is kind of like Kleenex, where everybody calls it a Rubik's Cube, but it's actually, like, not all of them are Rubik's Cubes because Rubik's is the brand?
Hungarian professor Dr. Erno Rubik. I don't know if his name was actually doctor, but it's Rubik is his last name.
Okay.
And so it's Rubik's Cube that he developed. And I think it was as a way to show spatial relationships in math. I think that's what he was doing. And then he made it into this toy, and people were like, that's pretty cool. I bet you I can do it. I bet you I can do it. And then he sold it to Mattel or Hasbro or one of those... I don't know, one of those companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by, that was in like 76 that he came up with it. And by like 81, one in three American households had a Rubik's Cube because the price point was so low and it was like a brain buster. Yeah, yeah. And so like they're everywhere and you just kind of took it for granted, I think, back then. And so.
So, but like the thing you have is technically not a Rubik's Cube because
correct.
It's not owned by, or not owned by, you own it. It's not made by Hasbro or Mattel.
It's a magic puzzle cube.
Oh.
It doesn't do any magic. I don't know why they say that, but it's a... I've been trying to get it to cast spells a lot.
It's a sexy puzzle cube. It's like you can just throw any adjective that you want or on there. It's a horny puzzle cube.
It's hard as a rock, puzzle cube. Yeah, but it's the... What ends up happening is that nerds are doing this and they want to go faster. And so they start like, I've got a 3D printer. I could just go ahead and print my own. And then like back 10 years ago when I was really active, there was probably like between 5 and 10 cubes that you would consider using in competitions just because they were machined a certain way. And when they spin faster. And when you go to turn a corner with them, you can be already doing the next move as you're going. And so there's like, you can't see it with unless you're seeing a video of this, which you aren't, but there's like little, there's
the
little
notches
holes
in the
there
corners
and stuff so that you can see how it can cut corners better and everything. All these things come into play. But then, about 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe now, you started being able to put magnets into the cube, and I can't really show that too easily. It's like up there in the whatever. And so it stops in place and it pulls itself around. And like, I can already hear the people that are like, I thought this was cool, but then I realized that everyone's cheating. And like, there's,
well, no, I mean, I guess like, as you're saying this, I'm thinking about like there's in cycling, just to bring it back to something that I know about, there are all of these different innovations in bikes, right? That the governing body of cycling has said, like, yes, that's great, but we're not going to use that in races because it like circumvents the spirit of the sport, right? So I'm assuming that same thing exists here in Rubik's cubing.
So
like,
yeah, magnets
cubing
are illegal.
Or speed cubing.
Magnets were illegal. I wish I had another cube here to show you, but magnets were illegal until a few years ago, and then everyone was using it, and so they just, they're like a really practical body, the World Cube Association.
Yeah.
And so, like, forever, you see how this cube doesn't have any stickers on it? It's all just, like, solids.
Yeah.
Forever, you couldn't use a stickerless cube because they thought that when you got a quarter turn, you'd be able to look down there and see that that's green and that's yellow or whatever, and it would give you an advantage as you were solving that you could look ahead where a piece was without actually having to turn it and look at it. I think they realized that was like you're talking about fractions and eye sure. movement so small that it wasn't worth it. So now none of the cubes have stickers anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're all just plastic pieces. And so this one, though, specifically made by GAN, is the Maglev 13. And what they've done, if you think about a Rubik's Cube, it's six-sided, like a six-sided die. And that means the centers, everything always spins around the centers, and the centers are fixed. So, like, on my cube, blue is always across from green, no matter what. And everything spins around it. When it's going, it spins around that point. And so when you're solving, you keep that in mind. Well, that means that there's, on the inside, there's an X and a Y axis, and then a Z axis. And so at the end of each of those is a magnet. And then at the end of the pieces that are spinning around it, there's a magnet. And it you can adjust how far in or out the magnets are. And so it tells you how how tight the cube will be or how loose. So if the magnets are further apart, it's looser. And if the magnets are closer together, then it pulls so it doesn't move as fast. So if you prefer a rigid cube, if you want a little more resistance because it gives you more control, then you can set it for that using magnets, which is mind-boggling that somebody designed this whole thing, came up with it, did all the math on it, and then made it work and made it work really well.
That's I think when you get to a certain point where you do it enough and you're so good at something, like those marginal gains are obviously so important, right? Because it can be the difference between a fraction of a second. Right. And that at this point, I feel like I don't know what the world record speed is for solving a cube and what the difference between first and second place is.
Like you said, Cuban.
Solving a Cuban. Yeah. We must solve that. No, but like the issue, I'm sure it comes down to thousands of a second, right? Like the records are probably now being beaten by like very, very, very marginal margins.
It was like 5.25 seconds for a long time. That was like, I think Matt Faulks at that time, like back in 2014. And it was like that for a while. And then it just, yeah, people just whittle away. And if you get like, when you're solving, you go through these steps. There's like six steps that you're looking at if you're using my style. And sometimes like you'll go to start step five and it'll already be complete because you'll just get fortunate. Yeah. And so it's called a skip and you go from 4 to 6. And it's just like, so that is like, at my speed, that's maybe 5 seconds that I get to take off. But at like these other guys that are going so fast, it's like fractional, but enough to set the world record. Wow. The current 3x3x3 cube, that is the Rubik's Standard, cube that everyone thinks of, the time, a single fastest time is 3.47 seconds.
And what's the difference between first and second?
So, if I remember correctly, it was in China in 2018. He got like a massive last layer skip. And it like took, you know, like it's just no one can replicate that time without that skip right now. Sure. We just don't have the agility or the recognition. The that's the single fastest. I can actually click on this to find out more. Let's see. Single. Oh, it's it's only going to show me one at a time. Sorry, I'll figure it out. But then the average where you do your five times, you drop the lowest and the highest and you get an average. There's a tie between two guys, this guy Timmin and this guy called Max Park. If you watch the Speed Cubers documentary on Netflix, which is well worth watching, it's amazing. Just watch these kids do this. It's really cool. Those two have an exact same score of 4.86 seconds per second, tied for the average. Now, there was a controversy 10 years ago when the timers started having a third digit. And so it was like, it would be like 4.861 or whatever.
Yeah,
but the World Cube Association doesn't recognize it.
Really?
Yeah. And so because all these times were already set, I don't know what the holdup is now, but they don't recognize it as official. So the official times are all to the 100th of a second.
That's crazy because like in every speed sport that there is where it's potential for people to tie in such slim margins, like you think you're into F1, I'm into cycling, like everything is timed to the 1,000th of a second, right? At least, if not even further, right? And the fact that cubing, where everything now at the top of the list, right, everything is so close, you would imagine like, well, we have to be able to split the hairs somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It's like just who looked sexier while they did it.
There's not a lot of sexiness, let me tell you, the Rubik's Cube things.
I mean, I feel like a guy named Max Park, like that sounds like he's primed to have like a cube movie made out of him, like Max Park to the max speed.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max Verstappen meets Max Park.
Yeah.
So I don't pronounce Chinese names really well. And so I apologize because the phonetics don't work for some reason. But Yu Shengdu is the guy with the fastest time of 3.47 seconds. Second place is the U.S.'s Max Park with 3.63, which is insane. Then Jody Brewster is from Australia at 3.88, followed by Asher Kim Majerik, who is a 3.89, followed by Luke Garrett, who's 3.95. So we're talking about 0.07 seconds covers third through fifth. That's wild. Oh, there's a tie for fifth. Wow. This is crazy.
Yeah, Max Park looks, he looks pretty cool.
Max Park is a special guy. He, I believe that, forgive me everyone if I'm wrong about this, I'm not trying to be ableist or whatever, but I believe that he is on the spectrum in some capacity and pretty significantly. Okay. And so his thing where he really shines is Rubik's Cube, which is a pretty common thing that in my experience I came across. There was a lot of kids that like their parents would come up to us. We used to organize events and be like, my child doesn't do anything. He can't do events at school and stuff like that. This is the one thing that he or she does. And it's so awesome that they have a chance to come out there. They all stand and look at their cubes and just spin them the whole time and don't talk to each other and stand in a circle doing that. And it's like the sweetest moment because kids who otherwise wouldn't have friends to be hanging out with, who wouldn't feel comfortable, still won't communicate with each other. But the way they communicate is by standing around in a circle and doing their Rubik's Cubes. It's amazing.
You're not wrong. He says, at least his Wikipedia says, when he was 2 years old, he was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism. They were told that he would need lifelong care. His motor skills were impaired. And so his mom got him into Rubik's Cube, and he began learning speed cubing. And he made progress in social development by waiting in a queue and mirroring body language on a podium at competitions. So, it's cool. It's like the thing that helped him like come out of his shell. It seems like, according to his Wikipedia page, at least.
Once upon a time, there was a kid from Renton, and his name is Kevin Hayes, and he was like the fastest big cuber. So like the 3x3 cube is what you think of traditionally with the Rubik's Cube. But then they have a layer that's like 4x4x4, 5x5x5, and so on. And they go all the way up to 7x7x7 in competition. And so once upon a time, Kevin Hayes was like the preeminent big cuber. And he like was in Renton, and he would come to all our events and everything. And they had, when I moved up here and I had just brought home our baby, they had an event at this church up the street from my house, like so close to, like within 2 miles of the house. And Kevin Hayes was there, and he had gone on a multi-city cubing comp tour with Max and his mom and just took him around to help him be part of the cubing scene or whatever. And they were like down the street from my house, the second best Rubik's cuber in the entire world, just operating his thing right down the road. I'm really bummed that like I didn't understand the significance of it. I knew it was happening too. I just couldn't I couldn't do that to my wife, where I'm like, I gotta go to a Rubik's Cube event. See you later, nerd. Enjoy your baby.
It seems like it's one of those things that's actually very impressive, like being able to do Rubik's cubing. And it also seems like one of those things where, like, the difference between like professional athletes, when you see them out in public, like the reason that all professional athletes are so, I think primarily in like soccer, right? The reason that like professional soccer players are all so handsome is because they are in peak physical fitness, and that's like 90% of what it takes to be good looking, right? It's just to like be, well, you know, traditionally good looking, or maybe what culture would define as good looking, right?
Yeah, like, just they're peak physical specimen.
Exactly. And so like outside of professional sport, like there are all of these people who are doing mad impressive stuff, like Rubik's cubing, or like even the people who are great at like esports, right? Like we talked a lot about the esport Olympics last week, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe the guys doing Zwift are probably in great shape. And the girls doing Zwift, like those people are all probably in great shape. But then like what
chess masters, for instance,
this all just comes down to the fact that I'm like picturing like, you know, your age, Gregor, running down the street to like get the autograph of, you know, 4x4 speed cuber Kevin, and the guy just being like, nobody's ever recognized me in public before. I have no idea what this guy looks like, but I'm just assuming he's not like peak physical specimen like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, Kevin Hayes happened to be a collegiate swimmer, so he was in great shape and a handsome kid.
Oh, dang, okay, there we go.
But that happened to just be like a separate thing. It's one of those mentalities where if you could dedicate yourself to something and you're able to do anything physical, that like that lends itself. Like the fiercest competitors tend to be good at whatever they put their minds to because they won't stop, can't stop. And so, yeah, it's...
it is like not... By no means am I like disparaging, like saying that everybody that does esports or Rubik's Cube is in bad shape. I'm just saying like it's funny for me to think about like when you watch interviews at like esports competitions, right? You like see the broadcasters or like the correspondents like will pull the guy who just won the League of Legends tournament aside and like interview, oh, and what did you see during that blah blah blah, and that like they have absolutely zero idea of how to talk to this person, right? Because they spend so much more of their time they're not like athletes thrust in front of the media constantly because it doesn't get the same attention. So they don't get practiced like that, right? And then like half the time they're like 17-year-old kids or like 18-year-old kids. It's like when you watch like the young soccer players who are like just came out of the academy have to talk to the media. They're like, yeah, I liked it was good. The soccer was good and I did good stuff. Yeah, thanks.
I interviewed Mike Shinoda last week and he's at this level where he's had enough media training that he's not fun to talk to because he's like been such a star. He's like so big worldwide. He's not fun to talk to, but he's like very... He's
trained. He's practiced.
And he says the same thing in every interview to make sure he's consistent and he doesn't, you know, out somebody for something or ruin something. It's just, that degree of professionalism is how it carries on. It's cool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Okay, well, anyway, today's a very special day. Today is March 14th. At least it's special in countries that keep dates like we do, which is different than everyone else in the world. Today is Pi Day, the most tasty math ever gets. When I ask you the question of the week, what's the best number? I feel like this could be it, Brandon. I
think that
it's an irrational number, which means it never repeats as far out as you go that they've calculated it, right? 3.14159 is the number. If you think back to math class, pi is the irrational constant that helps you calculate the circumference of a circle. So 314 is March 14th or 3.14159. So back in 2015, that was a fun one, you know, and when you could extrapolate it out a little bit more. I think it's really cool that this blew up and people started getting really excited for it. I think I don't know if you were still at the station out. A few years ago, we actually made an experiment to show that like you could use a pi to measure pi.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and if you did like the circumference of pi, we could actually measure it out and draw it and predict it, and then it like worked perfectly. I've got a GIF of it somewhere. It's just fun. It's a good excuse to eat pie. Oh, I guess there's the question of the week. What's your favorite flavor of pie, Brandon?
Oh, Dutch apple pie, no doubt.
Just like right, just bam, right through.
Yeah. That's an easy one for me. I love. My wife says I'm a picky person. I disagree, but for the most part, in my heart, I do agree. Like I am pretty,
You're particular. How about that?
I'm particular. Yeah. I have preferences when it comes to,
do you get a little whiny when you don't get the one that you want? Do you get a little grumpy or upset?
No, like I'm happy to eat whatever. And I don't complain if there's something for me to eat, like I'm not going to complain.
You can bottle that up inside, get mad later.
Yeah, exactly. And how'd you know? Thanksgiving is always tough for me because I hate pumpkin pie, right? What? But I know. But like,
pecan?
What's that?
Pecan?
Pecan, yeah, no, don't do it. Like, basically, I just eat apple pie. Or, like, strawberry rhubarb is good. But, like, yeah, apple pie, but specifically a Dutch apple pie with the crumbly tumblies on the top. Oh, man. It's my go-to.
My wife's number one pie that she makes is an apple pie crumble. And she used to always use the Granny Smiths in it all the time. And then she didn't have enough one day, and I was like, oh, awesome. So we had to use some Fuji apples. Pink Lady's her jam, actually.
Yeah.
And so we combined the two, and the pie was just a little sweeter, but, like, not saccharine. She's not a sweets person. And change the game. I'm with you. That apple pie, as I get older, is incredible. My problem is that my R.I.P., my dead mother, used to always make me this pie that it was a cream cheese cherry pie, and it's... Oh. The Snohomish Pie Company, which is near where I live, every weekend they do a cream cheese pie with a different topping, and sometimes they do a raspberry topping or a cherry topping, and it, like, messes me up because it's just like Mom used to make. So if I have a choice, that's always the way I go, but I do really love an apple pie.
Oh, yeah.
Are you pie or cake?
What's that?
Are you pie or cake, if you can have one?
Oh, pie. I think I'll take pie. Yeah, apple pie with a good ice cream on the side, a little scoop of vanilla ice cream on the side will I also love a peach pie or I'm not too picky between like a cobbler and a pie, you know? Like
it really is all the same to me.
So where I live, huckleberry is huge. Like, it's a really popular flavor for things here in the inland Pacific Northwest. And it's everywhere. Like, Western Montana, Northern Idaho, and Eastern Washington, it's like all huckleberry everything. Cool. When huckleberries are in season, what's really interesting about huckleberries is that they are almost impossible to cultivate. They like only grow in the wild, and there's been a bunch of different studies where different universities, especially here in the Northwest, have tried to transplant. They take wild huckleberries and they try to transplant them and grow them so that they can then cultivate them on like a larger scale and actually farm them. But they can't. They literally can't. Like they try so many times. They try so many ways, and it's like astonishing to me that in 2023 with like modern science, like we just can't figure out how to replicate the growing environment for a wild huckleberry. And so like last year my dad came over to town, and my dad loves to make jam, right? Like freezer jam. And so he was like, well, what kind of freezer jam do you want to make? Because in my backyard we have an apple tree growing and we have a plum tree growing. And I was like, yeah, well, like, you know, we've made a lot of apple stuff this year, and we've eaten a lot of plums. And so like, let's go see if we can find some huckleberries. Two things about huckleberries. One, because they're impossible to cultivate, like commercially, they're incredibly expensive. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I came home and told my wife how much I paid for these huckleberries, she was very upset. two, because they're impossible to cultivate, you can't just like go to the store to buy them, right? Like you have to go to like some weird like random farmer's market, find a guy whose fingers are so black from the cigarette like smoke that he's been smoking for the last, you know, he like smokes his cigarettes down, his hand rolled cigarettes down to the nubs, right? Like the only place that you can get them is like go to this guy. He's got no teeth. His fingers are black. He gives them to you in a Ziploc bag, and he's like, "That'll be $40," you know. And it's and then you take them home, and they're incredible. They taste great. It's awesome. And so we made like a huckleberry cobbler, and like huckleberry. It's incredible. Huckleberries are just like the best thing in the world. But it's like, it feels like you're buying illicit drugs every time you go buy them.
Guys, like, you could smoke them too.
Yeah.
So the record for memorizing and then reciting back pi is 70,000 decimal places. I'm sorry, this is not nice, but it's like kind of a Max Park type thing, right? Like where that numbers are your one thing that you're comfortable with.
And so for 10 hours... he just sat there and just said numbers straight. Yeah. Like
I think how long it takes to memorize 10 hours worth of stuff, you know?
Oh my gosh. Did he like make a song out of it?
I can't even remember my Indian neighbor's name. because it's not like Americanized and I'm an idiot or whatever.
Let alone, and you're an a-hole.
Yeah, let alone a string of numbers 10 hours long, right? It's hard, man. But you know, the thing that catches me out the most on the community WhatsApp thread that we have is that I don't know the genders of some of these names, so I have no idea who I'm talking to. And I sometimes have to Google it to be like,
that happened to me as well with a couple of clients who were buying some land out here, and I was like, I don't
huckleberries.
Yeah, they're just trying to like, it's like trying to strike gold out here, like finding oil. If you find a wild huckleberry plant on your land, you have to like build walls around it. No, but that's a true thing. It's like trying to figure out, you know, who exactly you're talking to. And that's like just because I'm like you, an a-hole.
No, I feel like if you're in a neighborhood that, like, I live in a neighborhood that is more than half foreign technology workers. Okay. We're just in the middle of the suburbs, man. It's not like it's like a buy Facebook or something like that.
Right, we're
in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if you are part of a group of people that is like kind of ostracized or kind of feels whatever the fear is of being in a place where you just hear about the cops shooting brown people all the time, like whether that narrative is true or not, like that's all you hear, that's got to be tough. And when the white guy neighbor you get is me or you, I'll even apply. I think that while I'm an idiot, I'm like a well-intentioned idiot. And so like,
you're not worst case scenario white guy living next door, especially in Snohomish or Spokane where I am.
Yeah. There's a guy at the end of the neighborhood, the militia guy that I like, he's a pretty cool dude, but like in terms of like seeing him out on the, getting the mail or whatever, but like if I was those people, I'd be like, this is the guy, he just has a Glock banner hanging up in his garage, so that when he opens the garage it just says Glock.
What's your favorite sports team? Guns.
Great. But also, like, I make cool with everybody, because when inevitably the zombies come or whatever, the first line of defense is that dude.
That guy's protecting your cul-de-sac.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I've been cool to him. He's like, I don't know about the Indian people, but he's like, he's going to protect me, I think. Anyway, I haven't played it this year, but NASA is always nice enough to make an impossible question related to the number for Pi Day. And so that'll be fun. I'll probably go check that out here. And anyone outside the U.S. today, it like must seem absurd to see this trending or whatever. Back when Twitter used to control such things, maybe it wasn't so bad, you know, that like they could just switch it off in other countries. But now it's just a free for all Wild West such a situation. They do the numbers the other way. So today is the 14th day of the third month of 2023. So it's 14-3, and that doesn't mean anything. That can even reduce down further. Or it can't, but you know what I
mean. Well, on the first day of... Oh, wait, let's see, 3.14. No, on the fourth day of the 31th month.
The 31th month is exactly right. Now, for them, the fraction that you can do to most closely get to pi is that works like at high school math level is 22 over 7. Okay. And so for them, July 22nd is their Huckleberry Jam. So. Anyway, happy Pi Day. Eat some pie. Pizza pie also counts. Pagliacci around me always does something fun with that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. And so
I should make some pizza.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good. I'm going to drive over there. I'll be there in 6 hours, okay?
What's your favorite made-up holiday?
Christmas, I guess.
My favorite is we unintentionally did this, but my wife and I got married on National Donut Day, and we actually had a donut wall instead of cake, because I'm not a cake guy. And so we had a donut wall, and National Donut Day is June 4th. Or no, wait. June 3rd. June 4th is her birthday.
Whoa, that's a weird call.
Yeah.
Well, that's two gifts for one. I guess that's okay. Yeah.
It makes it easier every year. Yeah. Okay. Get it all out of the way.
Well, this is going to, I don't know, break some blood vessels in his face or something like that. His eyes are going to be shooting blood. I'm going to beep his name. I don't want him to get the credit. Annoying news person from one of the propaganda channels. There we go. Healthy mice babies have been, I don't know what the right word is, like, engineered from the cells of two dads with no moms. So it's like a reverse Jurassic Park, I suppose, where they used amphibian DNA to fill in the gaps and the dinosaurs reproduced anyway without males.
Actually, you know what? This might actually make that annoying person from the propaganda news channel stoked, because we can finally get rid of women.
But no, but if the whole world's gone gay, he'll be very upset about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm not saying that for me or whatever. This sounds like if you could apply it to humans and two dads could have a kid, that'd be badass. I'd be happy for him. But yeah, it's like when I thought about this, I always imagined that this Japanese scientist who used gene editing to change an XX chromosome to an XY, if I get that right. I always screw this up. Genetics, not my thing. But he made an egg and then fertilized it with another dude's mouse batter. And then, like, this mad science experiment bore babies. I thought we would use technology like, what's it called, CRISPR?
Yeah.
Gene editing. I always thought we would do it either to be like awful, like make everyone white type things,
yeah.
Or more realistically, just make giant wieners or bigger boobs or something like that, you know? Like, I really think
that's want my kid. I want my kid to slay in bed.
Or like, you know, the CEOs that aren't tall, and so they're getting the height, the extension surgery or whatever. Just like do the CRISPR and the legs start growing a little bit. You have some growth spurts when you're 48 and no big deal.
Yeah,
I didn't think that we would just get nature drunk and then be like real weird when it wasn't looking in a non-gross way. I said that earlier, and I was like, not like get it drunk and then take advantage. I just mean like, hey, look over there, and then be like, we're going to make weird owl-bear hybrids is what Dave Clark told me on Twitter.
Man-bear pig?
Why not? I want from South Park forever ago, I want the pot-belly elephant. With big ear, comes in through the little dog door.
Little teacup elephant?
Yeah, like bonks you in the leg when it wants your attention. You're like, hey, cut it out.
Yeah.
Dumb little goat.
It is funny that they were like, we're going to have a kid in July, another kid, and RIP me. And and we did a at-home blood test early on that's supposed to tell you what the gender of the baby's going to be, right? And we went to, there's all of these ways that these blood tests can be wrong, right? Like if any of my like hair or germs or anything get into it, right? It could give a false positive and say it's going to be a boy, when it's actually a girl, right? The idea is that, the mother wouldn't be carrying any Y chromosomes, so you wouldn't be able to get a false positive, right?
So when your dog runs away with it across the room,
exactly. I mean, that's literally what happened. They say you can't do it if you have boy dogs in the house, if you have boy, like men in the house, you like son, anything like that. So we have a little boy already, and so anyway, so she went to a lab, had the blood work taken, and then sent it off, and they sent us an email and said, "Look, you're having a boy," and we're like, "Great, cool, good to know." And so then we go to get the 20-week ultrasound. And she says, you know, do you want to know what the gender of your baby is? And we're like, oh, well, yeah, actually, no, we already know what it is because we did the blood test thing, you know. And
we're very smart, everybody.
Yeah, we're very smart. Like, and she says, okay,
I don't know if you've listened to Nerd Talk, but it's really
it's very highbrow stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, okay, well, what do you guys think you're having? And we're like, well, we know we're having a boy. And she's,
maybe you didn't hear me.
Yeah, we did
medical
the blood test, dummy. And then she's like, okay, well, let's take a look. And she's, you know, a couple seconds later, she goes, what'd you say you're having? We're like, a boy. And she's like, are you sure?
Because I see a big vagina.
It's bigger than usual. and so anyway, so the thing was wrong. And so the fact that science, like, is now able to make two, like, I thought typically people would use this stuff to, you know, like have people who care a lot, like we don't care what gender the baby is that we're having, but I was just assuming that they would use it to help people say like, I really want a boy, therefore. I asked this the person who's doing the ultrasound, like, what's the craziest thing she's ever seen while doing an ultrasound, and she said that she told somebody that they were having a girl and the husband got up and like yelled at the wife and then stormed out. And that guy would be totally down with making two gay mice have a little boy, because that's really,
hey, they don't have to be gay, bro.
Okay.
That guy like storms out. He's like, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and and you're like, oh, dude, chill.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was very angry.
So scientists are calling on the global community with urgency to clean up the space junk. Every time we launch a rocket up there or some satellites or Elon Musk wants to send another whatever those, I don't know, internet Wi-Fi things are called up there, it pollutes the around the shell of the Earth, effectively. I find it interesting that scientists are like, we got to clean up space junk, while the global community isn't answering the calls of the ocean, which provides us life. Like, the whales have been on hold for decades now. Like, hey,
is it our turn?
I got a real problem out here. But yeah, space. Let's just get right on that. No big deal.
Your call is very important to us.
Now, I feel like just wait until some, like, communication satellites crash into one another, and then your smartphone won't load TikTok, and people, like, it'll be the fastest problem we've ever solved. Like, Gen Z will be like, fire the secret rockets! We're going up there to clean this crap up!
It's just this Gen Z militia. It's like, they don't have guns, but...
They do have judgment.
They do have judgment. They just shame. They just make you feel really uncool until you're forced to do the thing that they want you to do.
You know, I just thought, I don't know why I thought that was. I just think it's like we could obviously have more than one problem at a time.
Yeah,
this isn't like a sports team arguing over a sponsor and being like, I can't be expected to police all of the things I wear. I just hate this one. And so don't even come at me saying that I have to be ethically responsible with everything. I'm just very mad about this sponsor. This is obviously a real thing that happened that I'm not going to bother getting into. But
yeah, what are we worried about, like, with the junk in the space, putting our junk in space? Like, why are we worried about that?
The thing that I said is kind of realistic.
So they're worried about, like, this extra debris and kind of stuff, like running into something up there that's actually important.
Yeah.
And then screwing up some sort of service that this satellite provides, right?
Additionally, like, for looking to the heavens for trying to find out what is actually out there, that's another thing that's becoming increasingly more difficult as you're Earth-based telescopes are seeing space junk go flying by, and it's polluting the pictures you're trying to take and whatnot. So
it's like when you're looking in a pair of binoculars and, like, somebody gets up really close, like the thing that you're looking at is very far away, and then somebody gets up right in front of you. All these scientists are just like, they're annoyed that they keep getting startled as they're looking through their telescopes, and then, like, Elon Musk's little space crap flies by much closer than the thing that they were looking at. They go, we must solve this.
Now, this is from thetimes.co.uk. They say that there's only 9,000 satellites up there right now. There's plenty of other stuff that's up there, like rocket bodies and stuff like that. Remember when that one fell over China and they were like, from China, they were like, well, whatever, I'm sure we'll be fine. Earth is big. It's going to grow to over 60,000 by the end of the decade, with estimates suggesting that there are already more than 100 trillion untracked pieces of old satellites circling the planet. So, like, if every satellite has 10,000 pieces and they break apart over time, then, like, you start doing that a bunch. And then the space station, I keep saying that they have to, like, fire the boosters on the space station to make it move so it'll avoid incoming stuff. And, like, the thing is that I think people don't understand is that if you're driving on the freeway... This is a big thing in Seattle, like, a few years ago. You're driving on the freeway and someone on the side throws a rock at your car. It does hella damage, right? And you're going 69, of course. By the way, I was thinking about how, as I go through the toll things or wherever, as I'm monitored as a driver, I want to know if anyone has a better batting average of driving, of having the cruise control set, adaptive cruise control set at 69. Yeah. More consistently. Like, if, you know, if every time they, like... got an image of me, I bet you I'm more than 20% of the time going 69. And I bet you I'm pretty close to, like, the most immature driver that there is.
There's, like, some guy on a keyboard monitoring all of those things.
It's just one of
every,
us.
Every single time you drive by, he goes, nice.
That guy rules. Yeah. I'm going to delete the fact that he is traveling without having an extra passenger. But yeah, the stuff in space to stay in orbit has to go 17,000 miles plus per hour.
Yeah.
So, like, a race car goes 200 miles per hour. And that's, like, if that hits a rabbit, like, there's no more. It's just spray. It's just red mist.
Well, it's what's crazy to me in the way you think about it, right, is that, like, all of these satellites, all of these items that are up in orbit are going, you're like, okay, they're all going in orbit, but you think about not everything is going in the same direction or even in the same pattern, right? So you like the, it's like you're going on the freeway. Thankfully, there aren't very many cars on the freeway, but at least right now, there's not a ton of cars on the freeway. However, they're all going in different directions very, very fast. The likelihood of you hitting one right now is not very high. However, if you do hit one, you're
game over. Yeah, that's game over. Yeah. Especially at that kind of speed. Or if like the Russian segment of the International Space Station had to be shut down for a while there. I don't know the specifics, but like a small something or other, just a little piece of debris went shooting through it and it just rips a hole in there because there's no like space shields that protect it, though there obviously should be. But like we haven't figured out Star Wars imaginary technology yet.
Yeah.
Whatever. But anyway, I find this all to be fascinating, and also at the same time, like there's an unprecedented amount of ocean garbage here on Earth, and so it's like at some point, like those space satellites are just going to be beaming down signals for no one.
Yeah, but if ocean garbage kills a whale, it's not going to affect whether or not I can log into Instagram.
Yeah, man, you gotta see if that tweet got any action. This is, I guess, if we wanted to end on a positive to balance everything out here, this is cool. We started switching from milk that comes from cow boobs to stuff made from plants in the last decade, I would say. That's become really popular. Like, I have a 5-year-old that only drinks oat milk, and he's like a little tiny barista or something like that. But I think both cow milk and plant milk are kind of going to be a thing of the past. Now that dairy producers have made milk by using either fungi or yeast. Now, this California company has like perfected it. They're called Perfect Day. And they're like, you know, there's like big companies, like big Nestle's of the world and stuff that are getting into this. And it seems like we could cut down on needing any dairy cows, but still have all the killer ice cream and cheese and stuff. And without the hormones, without antibiotics, without lactose. People that are lactose intolerant, there's still a portion of the lactose that you don't get rid of that will still potentially affect you and your pooper or whatever. But like the stuff that goes into adding it or is more harmful for us can be controlled and not put in there, but you still get real tasting milk or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so everything can stay pretty same. Now it is made from yeast, which I was like, that's pretty gross. And then I was like, well, so is bread.
Yeah.
And I love bread.
Beer.
Yeah, it was like we all enjoy a pretty yeasty drink. Not all of us, but I do at least, and that's beer. And then I got to thinking, wait a second, if you can get yeast and brew beer at home, is like homebrew milk gonna be the next big thing?
We got this thing that makes it so we can have we can make oat milk at home, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But have you ever had nutritional yeast before?
Yeah, my vegan wife is big into finding ways to add in extra sustenance that she needs. And so I've had nutritional yeast. It bothers me a little bit. The flavor is just wrong enough where I'm like, what's gone wrong with this cheese?
I've had it in a couple things where I don't think I've ever seen it as a cheese replacement as much as I've seen it as this is a thing, right? And I think that's where I think if I saw it as this is instead of cheese, I would have thought that as well. It's like when I have an Impossible Burger, I'm like, this is instead of meat.
But that's, my point is not worse. It's not like she's putting it on instead of cheese. She's doing it to add I don't know what it actually provides or whatever. For me, the flavor I get is like
proteins.
I'm like, no, this pasta that is definitely does not have cheese on it it still feels like there's something wrong with the cheese.
My favorite salad dressing that my wife makes is a cashew-based Caesar dressing that is delicious. It has no dairy in it. And I'm not like a particularly sensitive stomach to dairy. I mean, to other things, yes, it absolutely wrecks. Other things absolutely wreck me. Soda? Well, can't do.
What?
I know. It's weird, man.
You can't have a Mexican Coke?
Oh, I mean, I will. I do. I still drink it. I just know I'm going to have diarrhea. I actually kind of, you know, as a person who uses a lot of yeast in bread making and stuff like that, I think this sounds like it could be cool. I think that the biggest thing is like with everything, I feel like if I know that it's a substitute to something, Like what you were saying, like it's maybe it wasn't a substitute for cheese and the things that
yeah.
she was making, but like if I know that it's a substitute, like somebody made yesterday, they made these like really cool for dinner, like a friend of ours made these really cool like chickpea based kind of fudge things, and I think if she hadn't told me that there was chickpea in it instead of dude pea, right, which I'm totally cool with. if she hadn't told me that there were garbanzo beans in this thing, I might have not thought about it. But because I knew I was like thinking about, and this is where I realized my wife is right when she says I'm picky. But if I had not known, I might have just been like, oh, this is actually really good. But because I was like thinking about it, right, it changed my experience with the fudge.
I was raised on margarine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I like that is a vegan substitute. You use, you know, a plant-based margarine, and it tastes, I don't care at all. It makes zero difference to me. Like, so a lot of the stuff, a lot of the vegan substitutes, like my wife makes biscuits all the time, and we don't use any buttermilk or any, like, I don't know if you use egg usually in biscuits or not, but none of that. And it's like, they come out great. Pancakes the same way. It's when you substitute flour for almond flour and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's no such thing that I've found where the flour substitutes are even close to the real thing.
I mean, the
corn,
yeast,
I guess.
The yeast likes to eat flour. It likes to eat the gluten. Well, it doesn't like to eat the gluten, but it likes to eat the flour in order to feed and grow, and that's where you have a harder time getting the bread to actually rise when you're not using a regular flour or a high protein flour.
Yeah, it's the vegan substitute stuff I have no problem with the, you put in the oat milk. Now, that being said, a bowl of cereal with oat milk is gross to me. It's not what I'm looking for. I wouldn't dip my Oreos into oat milk. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Like I just wouldn't have milk instead.
Yeah.
But like I live in a house where we have a substitute all the time. Only some, like you said with the, I love Impossible Burgers. If you say, do you want an Impossible Burger? I'm like, yeah, I'll have that. Like if that's what the option is, I'm in. But if you're like, we're having burgers tonight, and then you put an Impossible Burger in front of me, I'm like, hey, you tricked me. But also, I'll eat it.
But
if you say, hey, do you want a cookie? And I'm like, ooh. And then it turns out that it's gluten-free. I'm like, this is,
you're fired.
Yeah. I came home the other day, and my wife had made for breakfast for my child. She had made him gluten-free biscuits, and I almost called the police. I was like, you can't. I didn't actually do that. She did, though. And then later on, I was like, so gluten-free biscuits, and she was like, they weren't good. I was like, okay, all right.
So we know I was right.
I didn't say anything. I didn't have to. You know, it's one of those moments where I was like, oh, yeah, weird. Okay. I'll just note that here in my notebook. I'm right.
Hey, unrelated, I recently went to a ice cream place, a popular ice cream place with lots of chains and branches. It's called Baskin-Robbins, all right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I pretty much get the same thing every time I go there, but I try just about every ice cream that they
have. Mint chocolate chip?
Mint chocolate chip. It's the best ice cream that exists, is the Baskin-Robbins mint chocolate chip.
How did I guess that? I don't know how I got that right. I have no framework for knowing that. Yeah.
It's funny that you're spot on. That is my go-to. But they had a chicken and waffles ice cream that I tried that was delicious. So if you ever want to experiment...
Don't lift your eyebrows at me when you say
like to.
And what did we learn this week? Brandon wants to experiment.
Yeah, what did we learn this week, Greg?
That brings us to the end of the show, where we try and determine what it is that we learned this week. It is a heady show, after all. What did we call it earlier? We had a different name for it. Whatever. It's what did we learn this week?
Yeah. We learned that it ain't necessarily gay for two dude mice to have a kid, bro. You're not gay, okay?
So back off.
Yeah. The scientist took it out of me and put it in him, okay, bro?
And it potentially could be awesome for alternative families, as they might be labeled. Sure, I don't think that way, whatever. But that's I just want to be clear that we are, this is all tongue-in-cheek, and that we fully support. Yeah. Both of us are like big-time supporters of marriage equality.
I am okay for the mice to be gay if they want. Okay.
Not what? Damn it, Brandon! Not a choice.
What did we learn this week, Gregor?
I learned that Brandon is totally cool with dude pee. Chickpea, not so much.
Garbanzo beans. Straight out.
I gotta tell you, no, I'm not gonna tell you this. I'll save it for off air because it's gonna be too weird. It's about people peeing. We're not gonna.
If it's more than 11 seconds, it's you should get it checked out, apparently.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Okay, thanks for joining us for live Nerd Talk Plus on the Odyssey app. Happy Pi Day to you, 3.14159. Every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., we bring this to you, and then you can find it in the podcast provider of your choice. Of course, Odyssey is one great option for that. If you do get it from Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. I'm Gregor. Bye, Brandon.
Stop putting your junk in space.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.